Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The Mandy Connell Show is sponsored by Bell and Pollock Accident and Injury Lawyers.
Now, it's Mandy Connell on KOA News Radio, the voice of Colorado.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to a Friday edition of the show. All together now. Woo! That is right. Holy crap, was that an intro? I am actually kind of stunned right now after hearing the president's comments, because first of all, he just said everything without saying anything. And the real shocking part, Dave, the intrepid producer here as well, I believe we just saw the press wake up. Did you notice that?
Even his recommended list.
His approved list.
After him. His approved list, yeah.
NPR pressed him and called him on his crap.
Can you imagine what Fox would have done if they ever got the podium?
Yeah, forget about that. There's no way that's happening. But I actually, do you know what text message I sent out approximately 45 seconds before he stopped talking? I sent out this. The press finally woke up. We'll see how many more questions he takes once his people realize it. And almost immediately, the press conference was over. That was really wow. And let me be clear about one thing, because the Democrats are doing their dead level best to reposition this entire conversation around what's happening in Afghanistan as a conversation about us either leaving Afghanistan or staying there forever. And I'm going to tell you that is a false choice, and do not fall for that crap. Don't fall for that nonsense. Because that is not why people are angry. That is not why the British Parliament spent 7 hours excoriating President Biden and the United States of America the other day. That's not at all what the issue is.
But our
is.
Allies haven't criticized. They're all on
board
God. With this.
You know, people used to criticize Trump for watching Fox News all the time, but apparently he knew more than Joe Biden does. Because if you look at any of the major news media outlets, save MSNBC, who is still desperately, boy, Dave, they are desperately trying to save face and prop up President Joe Biden and make him seem like some paragon of leadership because he's finally getting us out of the quagmire that is Afghanistan. Again, trying to change the narrative of what the problem is. And Joe Biden just did it in that press conference. When asked very specifically if he was going to commit to making sure that the people who assisted us throughout the last 20 years would get out, and he immediately started on with the, you know, what is our battle? And by the way, I don't disagree with a single point he made about us remaining indefinitely in Afghanistan. I don't want to. The Afghan people are going to have to figure it out themselves. I hate to say it. But you can't gift people freedom. Can we learn that lesson in our foreign policy? We cannot give people democracy. But they have to fight for it themselves.
How many times do we have to say it's a red herring? No one's arguing that point.
Exactly.
We're arguing the pathetic attempt at withdrawing Americans and Afghani allies out of there.
Right.
That's what we're talking about.
Yes.
And that's what he won't address.
And the press seemed to have awakened from their years-long slumber, because they wanted to know exactly.
I don't know why there's been any problem with getting all these people out, because we're in contact constantly with the Taliban.
Yes. Oh, I had no idea.
We're negotiating their safe passage to all these people. We're talking to them all the time.
Dave, we're like BFFs now. I mean, big high five, Taliban. And somebody actually set the KOA Centura health text line. They shot one of these over here. Let's see here. Mandy, get your grammar guy about Biden's pronunciation of Taliban. He overly affects it. Taliban, annoying. And that's how the Taliban likes it said. So he's just, now that we're BFFs, now that we are going to have the Taliban at our Christmas parties this year because we're so close.
I missed the memo. Last I looked, they were the enemy. I guess I missed the memo.
I don't know. Well, my favorite part of the press conference was when our president said, we've let the Taliban know that, you know, if they want aid and things of that nature, they're going to have to do certain. And I'm like, wait, so now we're giving them money. Is that what I just heard? Are we going to give money to the Taliban? Because I got to tell you, I have a real problem with that.
Well, why not? We've given them weapons and equipment. Why not money, too?
Because they don't let girls go to school, make women wear burqas, and not leave their house without a male relative. Why don't we start there? Why don't we start with that's a good reason to not give them money? What the hell? Anyway, wow. Oh, somebody just hit the text line with this. Mandy, did you see the uneasiness and worry in the eyes and movements of Kamala and Secretary of Defense every time Biden went off script? I got to tell you, I told Dave I had the station on in my headphones and I had C-SPAN up with the sound down. And Joe Biden looked like an animatronic doll, like at the Hall of Presidents in Disney World. You ever been to the Hall of Presidents? You ever seen
that? Yes. At the World's Fair, they introduced it, yeah.
Now, Hall of Presidents at Disney is where you go at 3 o'clock when it's hotter than hell and it's about to rain. And then you go to Hall of Presidents. It's air-conditioned. It's quiet. It's a nice little respite in the mid-afternoon. And they have all the animatronic presidents up there talking, and that's what he looked like. You have to see the picture that I grabbed, Dave, for today's blog. We use Getty, which is a photo service that is a professional photo service, but you got to see the photo. I love finding really unflattering photos of Joe Biden. I don't know why. There are some people, it's just fun. And this one, he looks exactly like one of those ventriloquist dummies for that comic who won America's Got Talent or whatever he won. Very, very funny. I don't have a lot of confidence in our president, Dave. You know, I just don't. It's almost like he had
to answer questions after the other day when he just made a statement. So that was going to have to happen, but it was only going to happen with the handpicked list. And when that didn't work out so well,
the only option was to
skip out of town. Yeah,
hit the bricks is what he did. And he did quickly. I cannot even believe the depth of the lies that he just told when he said that he was not aware of criticism from our allies around the world.
Yes.
Honestly,
they're all on his side.
Oh, he doesn't even know like who he's best friends with more. His European allies or the Taliban right now. He has no clue. They're all right there. Just best buddies, you know, just best friends. That's what they all are. What the heck is going on, you guys?
Well, it should be fun to watch this G7 Kumbaya conference next week, where all of our allies will be hugging Joe Biden, apparently.
They're going to have to hold him up. It's like Weekend at Bernie's. They're just propping up the dead guy, and people are putting their arms around him and making him seem animated. I'm not totally convinced that Kamala and the Secretary of Defense weren't pulling strings behind him to make him arms fly up like this, you know?
Kamala was too busy chuckling.
Oh, she was, I just can't even. I'm okay, let's talk about the blog. By the way, Coover is here as well, running the board, making us, well, try to sound good. And we've got stuff and things. I'm stunned, honestly, about that. I'm stunned. Wow.
I'm not.
Wow. Walter, that's the dummy he looks like. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Let's check on the news. Let me regroup. Let me regroup and we'll come back with the blog. And then I'd love to hear your comments about what the president just said. I'd love to hear, am I overreacting? Am I? 303-713-8585. Tom Mustin's got our news in for Susan Witkin today. Hey, Tom, how you doing?
Hey, Mandy, great to talk to you. We're going to have more on President Biden's address to the nation regarding Afghanistan. We know where you stand, but we'll have much more on that. Plus, let's try Unwanted Controversies for 200, Alex. The new host of Jeopardy, Mike Richards, is
this
stepping
is crazy.
Down. It is absolutely
this
crazy.
I mean, they're going to have to hire a newborn baby.
It's
honestly. Yeah, go ahead.
But anyway, we'll have much more on that controversy is going on now. That's coming up at 12:30 on KOA News Radio, 850 AM and 94.1 FM.
I'm calm now. I feel better. I feel good. I'm ready. Rested, ready to face the rest of the day. Let me tell you what's on the blog now that we can jump to that. If you'd like to tell me what you thought about the president's comments, please feel free, because I'm beginning to think that we have a significant issue here. I don't think our president has the ability to hold it together more than like 15 minutes at a time. Have you seen him for more than 20 minutes, Dave, at any given time lately?
No,
I'm not kidding.
Absolutely not.
I mean, this is getting a little nerve-wracking.
Scary?
Yeah. That's the word I was looking for. Yes. Scary.
We were talking off the air about the fact that we can't remember another president who had a preferred reporters list for press conferences.
Yeah.
This is so anti-democratic. I don't understand how the press allows it without a peep. They should be calling for impeachment.
Yes.
And by threatening freedom of the press. What is going on? Have they lost their backbone completely?
Well, I think you answered your own question. Let's tell people what's on the blog and where to find it. Today's blog can be found at KOANewsRadio.com. I'm just going to say this, you guys. This week of blogs, the blog has been on fire lately. It has been so good, if I do say so myself. Dave has been sending me amazing stuff. I've been getting amazing stuff. A lot of it has to do with COVID, because I'm so ready to be done talking about COVID, but we're having a situation where there's really actual useful new information coming out. So I'm trying to get you all that information and then all this Biden stuff. Anyway, find it at KOANewsRadio.com. Click on anything that says Mandy Connell, full schedule, or look for the headline that says Mandy's Friday Blog, Mike Rosen Talks Movies, and What's Wrong with POTUS? Click on that, and here are the headlines you will find within.
Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. North and South American. All the ships and clippers at sea. Let's go to press flash.
Today on the blog, Mike Rosen at 2 to talk movies. Where is the president? Forget Trump. It's Biden who broke NATO. And Senator Michael Bennett supports the Biden humanitarian disaster fully. An organization representing Denverites is suing over sanctioned homeless camps. A great editorial on critical race theory and the move to erase it. Unless you're old and sick or immunocompromised, your vaccine seems to be working just fine. Greg Gutfeld beats the big kids at their own game. The American Bar Association wants to add indoctrination to law school. The robot takeover begins. The CRT doll is just what your family doesn't need. Back in school in the 80s versus now, there was a host for Jeopardy, but now he's not. Editor of a socialist magazine fires employees trying to organize. This is the best takedown of wokeness I've ever read. And this is a lovely one-minute film. Those are the headlines on the blog at KOANewsRadio.com on the Mandy Connell page. And there you go. We have a lot of stuff on the blog. Going back to the top, Mike Rosen coming in at 2 o'clock. We're going to talk about the new movie's Fall Guy, which Dave and I saw. And then Mike saw
actually Free Guy.
Oh, Free Guy. I'm sorry. Free Guy. And Mike is going to talk about a movie that opens today, The Protégé.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 6-packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $2.99 each. Then get flavorful large avocados for 99 cents each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yes. So that's coming up at 2 o'clock. Right out of the top of the blog, I got a bunch of stories in this, and people are starting to ask questions about the president's wellness and fitness. As I just mentioned a moment ago, he doesn't seem to be able to hold it together for more than 20 minutes at a time. It's like they wind him up, Dave. And then as he realizes he's winding down, they have to rush him off stage as fast as possible. It's bizarre. absolutely bizarre. This from National Review. National Review said, as of this writing, shortly after 2 p.m. Eastern time, President Biden has no events listed on his schedule for today, tomorrow, or this coming weekend. The Federal Aviation Administration has pushed back the flight restrictions for VIP travel around Wilmington, Delaware, from Friday at 12:30 p.m. to 9:30 Eastern on Sunday. Despite the severity of the current crisis, it appears Biden still plans to spend the rest of the weekend at one of his homes in Delaware. So obviously he's back in D.C. to make this speech, with Kamala and the Secretary of Defense standing behind him. But he's been absent this entire week and apparently completely out of touch. Don't they have CNN on at the ice cream shop, Dave? I mean, don't they? You know?
I thought he was talking to allies all week long.
Yeah, busy.
Just an hour ago, as soon as an hour ago.
Yeah.
Yes, maybe not.
What's interesting is that I remember hyperbolic coverage of Donald Trump playing golf, right? We love to pick on presidents playing golf. Here's the thing. I don't care if presidents play golf. But if one side is going to pick on the other side when their president plays golf, then the other side is going to pick on the other side when their president plays golf. And it just goes on and on and on. It's ridiculous. So I don't want you to interpret what I'm saying as, I sure wish somebody would pick on Joe Biden for fiddling while Rome burned. He's not playing golf, but no one knows what he's doing. I think that's actually worse. It's worse that he's just been gone. He's just been away. And
I mean, if he had actually been consulting with all of our allies, why wouldn't his staff have been telling us the last few days?
Correct.
He's busy talking to all of our allies to make sure we have support all over the world. We haven't heard that until about a half hour ago.
Well, why not release the schedule after the day is done of all the allies that he spoke to? Release the schedule. It's not crazy, you guys. It's not top secret. If he releases a schedule at the end of the day that says 11 a.m. spoke to Boris Johnson, you know, noon spoke with Macron for France. I mean, it's not that we're not giving up state secrets, but at least it gives some credence to the notion that the guy's even engaged. He says, he just said on television that there is no issue with people getting to the airport. I mean, I don't know if you guys saw Clarissa Ward talking about how she got to the airport. She works for CNN, and she said, I can't tell you how I got here, but it was a harrowing experience. And there are a lot of people whose papers are in order who can't get around the perimeter. And he's going to stand on national television. This is such a, who are you going to believe, your eyes, you know, me or your own lying eyes? That this is where we are right now with this.
There's an Afghan reporter, I think I sent it to you, for Fox News, that's talking on audio only with shots in the background, talking about her mother afraid that she'll never get out alive and how can she get out. This is live, and he's saying there's no problem, that we're negotiating with the Taliban to get all these people out, as this poor woman reporter is hunkered down with shots being fired all over the place.
Well, Dave, I think what we saw today was the execution of a strategy that Joe Biden reportedly argued in 2010 about. When talking about staying in Afghanistan, he wanted to leave immediately, and he reportedly told a diplomat, and this is reportedly a quote, F that, we don't have to worry about that. We did it in Vietnam. Nixon and Kissinger got away with it. So do you think he just believes if he keeps going out and parroting what he wants everyone to believe, that eventually we'll all move on? I mean, don't get me wrong. The American people have a notoriously short attention span. Okay. He may be onto something, but there's a couple of big differences between when the fall of Saigon happened and today. Number one being the internet. And when Saigon fell, the news media covered it, but then eventually they stopped covering. Eventually, they stopped talking about it. Eventually, it just went away. With the internet, we're seeing real live pictures out of Afghanistan right now. We're going to see real live stories about the Taliban taking over and killing and murdering people and telling women that they can't go back to work or school. I mean, this is going to happen in real time in a way that people simply did not have access to in the 1970s. And I think he's grossly underestimating that part of this.
I'd like to know when he's going to stop taking partial credit for Osama bin Laden when he voted against going after him.
Yeah, that's a bit much. I mean, that I think he really believes that it was like his idea now. I think he's rewritten that in his mind. You know how I told you stealing stories? He stole Obama's story on that. Remember that time I decided to go get Osama bin Laden? Like, he said that so many times, he believes it now.
He was in the room going, I object.
Yeah, no, this is a bad idea. We should take more time because it's not been long enough.
Confirmed,
no.
Yeah.
No. Somebody just told me on the text line, Dave, to shut my big mouth. Please don't use our KOA Centauri Health text line to tell me to shut my big mouth without telling me.
I think you have a lovely small mouth anyway.
Well, I will say, I mean, I haven't seen a mouth like that without a hook in it in years. Anyway, old Rodney Dangerfield joke. If you're going to tell me to shut my mouth, make sure to tell me what about. If you want me to stop talking about Joe Biden, please call in and defend him. 303-713-8585. Feel free. Go crazy. Knock yourself out. Don't just hurl invective on the text line there, Mr. Invective Hurler. By the way, if you subscribe to The Economist is a left-wing magazine, okay? It just is. It's left-wing intelligentsia, so it is intelligent left-wing claptrap a lot of the time, but it's left-wing. There's no doubt about it. I like The Economist. It really gives me an idea of what left-wing intelligentsia is reading about. That's where they get their stuff. So I find it fascinating that The Economist is dropping the blame for what's happening in Afghanistan squarely in Joe Biden's lap. Now, they try to sugarcoat it. They start by saying the fiasco in Afghanistan is a grave blow to America's standing, and much of the blame lies squarely with Joe Biden. But other than a glancing blow on the Trump administration for making this deal with the Taliban in the first place, that Joe Biden, who literally undid everything else Donald Trump did, allegedly was forced to comply with this one thing. You know, that's convenient, isn't it? Like, well, you know, the last guy did it. I couldn't do anything about it.
No, it took him about 48 hours to reverse almost all the executive orders, but this one somehow wasn't.
No. Somebody from the text line also just asked, maybe that was Joe Biden's text. It could be. It could have been. Telling me to shut my big mouth. Just saying. Somebody else said, please keep talking.
It would have been, amen, shut your big mouth.
Yeah, come on, man, D.
Yeah.
That's Joe Biden's text to me, or just come on, man, and then little tiny little letters, D. There you go. Parliament just held Biden in contempt. Yes, we talked about that yesterday. Do you think that pulling out of Afghanistan had anything to do with Joe Biden's relationship with China and Afghanistan's rare metals? I don't know what you think. Maybe. I would say that would be an excellent conspiracy theory, except Joe Biden has been consistent since 2009 about wanting to get out of Afghanistan. I don't think there's any doubt in the mind that he just wanted to get out of Afghanistan. So as much as I would love a great conspiracy theory, I don't think I'm going to get one on that. Okay, back to the blog. Let's see here. This is super fun. Remember, Dave, when Joe Biden was going to restore our place and, you know, strengthen our allyships with our NATO allies that Trump destroyed by asking them to pay their fair share of their own defense? Well, the Wall Street Journal editorial board has an outstanding editorial today that lays out the ways that Joe Biden's Afghanistan withdrawal has damaged America's relationships well beyond what mean Trump was going to do.
I don't understand how that's possible because all of our allies agree with him.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't get it.
Yep. Yep. Let me just read a second from this. Everything about Mr. Biden's Afghan withdrawal has been a slap to those allies. They didn't want the U.S. to leave, but he did. The botched execution has left them scrambling to airlift out thousands of their citizens and thousands more Afghan translators and others who assisted each nation's war effort. And the snubs keep coming from Washington. In his Monday speech, Mr. Biden made only a glancing reference to NATO and none to America's European allies in his account of the conflict. UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson reportedly had to wait a day and a half after requesting a call with the president to get Mr. Biden on the phone. No wonder European leaders are apoplectic. UK Defense Minister Ben Wallace called the Trump-Biden agreement with the Taliban a rotten deal in an interview this month after the Taliban started capturing chunks of the country. In Parliament on Wednesday, Tom Tugendhat, chairman of the House of Common Foreign Affairs Committee, who served in the British forces in Afghanistan, called Mr. Biden shameful for blaming the retreat on a supposedly pusillanimous Afghan military. Former Prime Minister Theresa May criticized Mr. Biden for following President Trump's lead in a unilateral negotiation with the Taliban. And it goes on and on and on and on and on and on and on about that. On and on and on. All of you pouring effusive love and praise onto the text line for me. First of all, thanks. You guys are awesome. I just flipped my hair in your honor. But one nice person on the KOA Centaur Health text line said, "Why are people mean to you? I love how you speak your mind and present truth and facts. I learned so much from you. People are mean to me because they have horrible taste and they like things that are awful. And I am not awful." That's really what I take away from it all. I just let the hate flow through me. Just flow. Also on the blog, we are going to get back. We've got a really interesting story, I think. Now, sanctioned homeless camps were actually touted by the mayor earlier this week on the show as a solution, not a permanent solution, but a solution to help move people to services. Well, the people who are being directly affected in the areas around these sanctioned homeless camps don't care. I'll tell you about a lawsuit that's been filed by those people. And I kind of, Dave, we got to find out more about this organization that is, they call themselves Denver Deserves Better, which really, can you argue with that? We should get them, see if we can get them on the show. I'll tell you about the lawsuit. And unless you fall into a couple categories, you probably are going to be just fine with your vaccine for now. We'll talk about that as well. But first, we're going to talk to Tom Mustin, find out what's coming up in his news. Hi, Tom. What you got?
Well, I'm flipping my hair right now. Just like
I went to flip my hair, and I actually did go to flip my hair. But number one, it's in a bun. Number two, I hit my headphones, so it was all in all just a completely disaster gesture that no one saw.
I've got a nice visual though. But the intent was there. So we like
exactly,
that.
Exactly.
Well, Mandy, deja vu all over again. Some major problems at the airport today due to passenger train issues. We've heard this before. Long waits at TSA and some irate travelers. Well, the very latest for you coming up at 1 o'clock on KOA News Radio, 850 AM and 94.1 FM.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
The Mandy Connell Show is sponsored by Bell and Pollock Accident and Injury Lawyers.
Now, it's Mandy Connell on KOA News Radio, the voice of Colorado.
Welcome back to the second hour of the program. I got to remind you guys that coming up at 1:25, you can listen for your chance to win $1,000 and a trip to the iHeartRadio Music Fest in Las Vegas. All you have to do is listen for the cue to text right before the break, and you can possibly win some money and tickets to a concert. Back to the blog. So we've talked about the people in the Park Hill neighborhood that are extremely unhappy about a sanctioned homeless encampment that was brought to their neighborhood against their wishes. And now there's a lawsuit, and I am going to be watching this thing like a hawk, because the lawsuit was brought by a group of citizens called Denver Deserves Better, which says that the city's zoning administrators unilaterally and without public input change zoning to allow for the creation of homeless camps. And they are not wrong. If you've ever been in a situation where you have tried to change the zoning for something from residential to anything else, it is like 50 fresh layers of hell. Now, you can often, you know what? I've only done it in one direction, so I don't want to make any claims to whether or not it's easier to zone something from business to residential than it is to zone anything from residential to business. It is so hard. They want to protect residential neighborhoods. There's a lot of good reasons for it. And yet, the city of Denver has created a situation where I think that they may have an argument. The lawsuit comes after two times they appealed to the Denver Board of Zoning Adjustment and asked them to overturn a variance granted to operate a temporary safe outdoor space for the homeless in the Park Hill neighborhood. The board voted 3-2 to overturn the variance on August 3rd, but a supermajority of 4 votes was required for the appeal to succeed. And Denver Deserves Better is saying, you know what? Sorry about your luck. The attorney for the Public Trust Institute, which is a nonprofit public interest law firm, said setting up tent cities for the homeless would not withstand the glare of public notice and citizen accountability. In the 2019 election, over 80% of Denver voters shot down the last attempt to allow homeless camps all over the city. Yet activists found a way to circumvent the public by having a city bureaucrat unilaterally impose a zoning change, hoping that citizens wouldn't pay attention or demand accountability. Well, they are now. Oh boy, they are now. Dave, I thought about something. You know, I love a good passive aggressive move. How about this? How about we run a ballot initiative that says any sanctioned outdoor space for homeless people or people living without homes or whatever the new language is, has to be within 150 feet of the house of an elected official. How about that?
That would end homeless camps.
100% overnight. Problem solved.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm passive aggressive enough to say, do it, do it. Just say, you know what? If you guys want to put them in, you know, if you want to put them out here, if you think they're such a great idea, they have to go next to your house in your neighborhood.
Like all presidents of the United States have to send their kids to public schools because exactly. They're so good.
Yeah. No, that went the way of the dodo bird a long time ago.
Yep.
I mean, a long, long time ago. So, I'm going to be watching this because this could be huge. I read an article yesterday about a neighborhood in Seattle, and it's the Georgetown neighborhood in Seattle. And there were literally RVs, broken down RVs, just on the side of the street. And the neighbors started to get really, really, really mad. But they were also trying to help these homeless people. So eventually they convince her, I don't know how they get the RVs to move, but when the RVs move, they put these giant concrete block barriers down so only a car-sized car could park in between the concrete barriers, and the city came after the homeowners. They never once came after the people living in the RVs. Never once. But the city is going after the homeowners for trying to protect their neighborhood. So what do you do when not only do you have no help from the authorities, the police, no one's coming to help you. You bought this home, and in Seattle, if you own a home in Seattle, you paid a pretty penny for it because their housing market is even more expensive than our housing market in Denver and has been for decades. So if you bought a house in Seattle, you have paid a pretty chunk of money, and now you have people squatting in front of your house. You're picking up needles and used condoms, and people are turning tricks in your neighborhood, and no one comes to help you. So you decide to do something. You help the people so they can move somewhere else, but then you do something to protect your neighborhood, and then the city decides to show up. At what point do you just storm the castle? You know, and I know that I'm not supposed to use that because January 6th was like the most traumatic event ever. And so I'm never supposed to. But you know what? At what point do you not storm the castle? I mean, why in the world would anyone move to Washington State right now, and especially Seattle? And by the way, kids, that's what's happening in downtown Denver. That's why the people of Park Hill are suing. They're not suing. And you know what? I bet you that there's some very nice people who are down on their luck who live in this sanctioned homeless camp. And I bet that there's people in Park Hill that have a tremendous amount of compassion for those people. But I also know that at some point, something is going to break. And if someone's child gets hurt, if someone's dog gets killed, if someone has an incident where somebody becomes violent, it's all over. And the compassion for these people is draining very, very quickly. So this is what we're seeing. These people are not fighting to keep poor people down. They're fighting to protect the things that they've bought and paid for and worked their entire lives to have. And I don't have a problem with that. Because let me tell you something. In my neighborhood, a homeless encampment shows up. It's gone the next day because my husband and every one of my neighbors will go and pack it up and take it somewhere else. But it will not stay here. We will not wait for the police to show up. I'm not saying anybody's going to get hurt, but I'm saying they will be told in no uncertain circumstances, they are not welcome to be here. And you're going to see more and more of that happen all over. In the cities, it's a huge problem. And everybody's afraid in the cities. You know, I know that there's a lot of very well-intentioned liberal people, but you guys got to grow a backbone at some point. You have to stop worrying about being called heartless because you don't want someone pooping on your front step. You know, at some point you have to stand up and say enough is enough, because I can say it all day long, but I don't live there. I'm not going to live in the middle of downtown where people are going to poop on my, you know, front stoop. I'm not doing that. I choose something different. But I got your back if you want to make an issue out of it. I'm just saying. Hi, Mandy. Me and my wife are downtown Wednesday. This from the text line, obviously. Have you seen those huge stones the cities are stacking along sidewalks to prevent tents? I wonder if it's the city or if it's business owners doing it. Well, I don't know. If we were in Seattle, we'd know because the city would have already come and told them to move them. I mean, it's very frustrating. Very, very, very frustrating. Extremely frustrating. Anyway, so that's happening downtown. There's a really good editorial in the Denver Gazette. Got it on the blog today about the rebranding of critical race theory. Everyone is trying to erase critical race theory. People like me who believe it is the most toxic ideological stew to come down the pike ever, other than blatant white supremacism. I'll put them in the same exact category because both of them believe that race is more important than anything else. And the other people trying to erase it are people who believe this toxic stew, but they want to rebrand it and they want you to not notice. So this is a fantastic editorial that gives you kind of what to look for, you know, catchphrases. The thing is you cannot disengage on this. You know, I was so pleased the other day. I offered to send people the stuff that I have about the new curriculum for Cherry Creek Schools. And a bunch of people emailed me and said, send it to me. I want to know. People are really paying attention, but don't think for a second that you are ever going to be able to stop paying attention. You have to engage and you have to stay engaged. And that's just the way it is. That's just the way it is from now on. This from the Centura Health text line. I'm a utility locator in Denver. There are many homeless camps around businesses, warehouses, abandoned buildings that I do locates around because the property owner and maybe the city don't want them there. So they install fences around the lot. I notice the camps then move to neighborhoods. Yep, that's, you squeeze the tube and the toothpaste just moves to either end. You know what I'm saying? Like, we have to solve the problem. And it starts with mental health, residential mental health, and then it goes to addiction treatment, and then it goes to arresting all the other scumbags who just want to be urban outdoorsmen. Problem solved. Yes, Dave.
When did loitering become camping is what I'd like to know. But remember back in the day, if you were sleeping on a park bench, the cop would say, move along. And now you can set up elaborate camps next to that park bench in the park. Correct. What happened?
The homeless industry and compassionate people made it easier by giving out free tents and sleeping bags to make it a true lifestyle instead of a temporary condition. And this is the conversation that I have with... I've stopped trying to talk to my friends who have...
You know, language is important.
Wait, hang on, Dave. Hang on. I've stopped trying to talk to my friends who have giant hearts, but think that they are helping by providing food and things like tents and sleeping bags because that's their way of they have to have positive action that they can see the immediate result. And they're motivated by a wonderful feeling, but they don't recognize that they're actually making the situation far worse for not only the people that they're directly helping, but other people who might decide that that's a lifestyle choice that could work for them. And that's tragic. It's absolutely tragic. Horrible. Yeah, Dave.
Yeah. Oh, words mean things. And I don't like that this is called camping. Camping is a legal exercise on a prescribed area where people can go use temporarily that area and then get out. That's camping. This is squatting.
Yeah.
Let's not call it camping. Let's call it what it is. It's illegal squatting.
Correct.
I'm sick of the term camping.
Yeah. Whenever it is done without the permission of the person who owns that dirt, it's squatting. And Dave is absolutely correct that what they're doing is squatting. But we just don't have the political will, because I think that politicians are currently underestimating how much people hate this issue. They hate it because even if they have compassion for the people that are living on the streets, they're tired of stepping over human poop. They're tired of seeing people shoot up under bridges. They're tired of seeing garbage everywhere. They're tired of it. But at the same time, you know, nobody wants to be called a big meanie. I just don't care about being called a big meanie anymore. I just want solutions that are going to work and help as many people as want help and need help, and get the rest of the people to either leave or just get off, you know, get their act together. I'm tired of coddling people who want to make bad choices. It's one of my great frustrations in life, is coddling people who continually make bad decisions. By the way, you guys, I meant to tell you, I just posted on KOA's Facebook page a link from a photograph. The security line at DIA is out the front door and down the entire front of the building. The security line. So that means you have to come inside, walk down the hall, go down the escalator, then get in the back and forth security line. So that's got to be an hour and a half, 2 hours, I'm guessing. Plan accordingly if you're flying out of DIA today. Plan accordingly, because it looks like a miserable situation out there. Good news about the vaccine. If you're panic stricken about getting your booster shot, unless you're old and sick or severely immunocompromised, don't panic about getting your vaccine just yet, because your booster shot. You can, but it seems that those are the groups, old and sick and severely immunocompromised, like people fighting cancer or taking immunosuppressing medications. Other than those people, the rest of us seem to be doing pretty well. And if you got the J&J shot, you may be one and done. Right now, they think, they don't know, they're going to find out, but they think that the Johnson & Johnson shot may last longer, even though it starts at a slightly less, you know, efficiency rate or whatever, not effectiveness rate. That's what I'm trying to get to. Greg Gutfeld had a huge, big victory. Has this ever happened before, Dave? I was trying to remember this, and maybe it's in the story and I missed it. But Greg Gutfeld, who is on Fox News at 11 o'clock Eastern, he's got a very, very funny talk show. And Greg is a funny guy. I mean, he really is. He really puts to rest the notion that conservatives can't be funny, because Greg is hilarious. I laugh out loud at his show. I really, truly do. And he finally beat everybody else in late night. And this has to be profoundly upsetting to the
He's
other
He's the only one doing
guys.
Comedy.
Yeah, exactly. He's the only one
That's
not just
reason.
Reading left-wing talking points at this point.
Exactly,
so
yeah.
Tuesday night, he won the key demo of 2554. And beat overall. I mean, he had the biggest numbers of any of them, and he's on cable. He's not. Remember when? Oh, it's just on cable. That used to be a slam, and now it doesn't matter where you originate. Now streaming has blown the notion of any of that stuff from mattering. I mean, at all. Oh wow, people are now weighing in on homelessness downtown. Solution: I used to live in a city where we were encouraged to bring a homeless person to one of the many facilities on the edge of town instead of giving them money or food. There you go. That's actually a really good idea. A very good idea. Dave, this texter pointed out that people pooping are definitely squatting. Got a point. You have a good point. Yeah. Yeah. Have you seen the leftover riot burnt RTD bus by our mayor and governor? No, I have not. Where's that? By the way, somebody asked, why didn't DIA do the work at night? We'll see if Tom Mustin has any more on that. I think it broke yesterday. I don't think this was scheduled maintenance. Something broke yesterday, and obviously they have not figured it out yet. Regarding the extremely long line at security at the airport, my information is it's due to the train, as they're only running one train. So the train boarding area is backed up into security, which is now backed up to the outside to the terminal building. So what are we looking at, 2 hours? somewhere? Are Dave and Rick flying right now? Is that, somebody just pointed that out. Are they going somewhere? Oh, wow, that sucks. Oh, they're trying to go to Seattle. I hope they make it. Sorry, guys. Looks horrible. Hey, Coof, see if you can get Dave on the phone and see if we can find out if they're at the airport. See if he's at the airport, and if he is, he can give us a report.
I know that Rick is flying today. Dave is flying tomorrow morning because of his Cherry Creek duties.
Oh, you know what? I'll text Rick on the break and ask him what's going on if he's stuck in that. And he can be our man on the street, if you will. Also on the blog today, by the way, you can see Greg Gutfeld's show the next day online very, very easily if you want to watch it. It's very funny. Very, very funny. Now, Dave, I want to talk about the robots when we get back. I have a couple of videos on the blog. Did you see the Ciartina doll, Dave?
Oh, yes, I did. That is directly from an old Twilight Zone episode with a baby doll that went bad.
Yeah. And
this
and
is the ultimate one.
Ciartina is...
Ciartina, I love it.
Let's just say she's just not, she's not down with dad, okay? Because he's a white man.
Or anyone white, yes.
Yeah, and my daughter loves this YouTube channel called The Holderness Family, and they sing funny parody songs, and they do little sketches, and I watch them every once in a while, and I saw this one today that said, back to school, 80s versus now, and I was like, okay, I'll bite. So I'm a child of the 80s, right? I remember the 80s, so I watched it. You guys, this is literally my childhood versus my daughter's childhood, okay? It's like, my mom's like, yeah, okay, here, there's some food in the kitchen. Make lunch, you'll be fine. And I'm like, okay, we have some fruit. We have some whole grain crackers. I'm just like, used to be easier to be a parent, Dave, I think. I think we've made it harder unnecessarily. Tom Mustin, I think, agreed with me based on that laugh I just heard. Oh, you've got to see it on the blog, the Ciartina episode. Yeah, uh-huh. Yes, it was Dylan Smallis.
That's correct.
Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. Uh-huh, yeah, as well you should. As well you should.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
Laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome back. We are, hang on, I'm responding to someone who is asking about Greg Gutfeld. Got to spread the word about that. So, you know, Dave, the that whole Jeopardy situation where Alex Trebek was host, how many years was he host? Like 100 million? I mean,
a lot. You know,
yeah, like a whole bunch of lots, right?
Decades. This
was so many years that he was actually the host. We now have had what is going to go down as the shortest tenure as Jeopardy host in the history of the world. Tom Mustin mentioned it earlier in his news, but the one of the hosts that was named, and I linked it to the wrong article. Hang on. Mike Richards was a longtime host of, not host, producer of Jeopardy, and he, after all of these people auditioned by doing the show, was announced as one of the co-hosts of Jeopardy, and the other co-host was going to be Maya Bialik, who was Blossom, and also Amy Farrah Fowler on Big Bang Theory. Didn't know how that was going to work, but now just 9 days into his run as Jeopardy host that has not actually started yet, Mike Richards is out. And I have to tell you, this is probably the best example that we're going to find of people being held to a standard that did not exist in the same way when they did whatever it was they did. Okay. we're now in an era where nothing is allowed to be joked about. Nothing inappropriate is allowed to be said. And I get it. We're all running around looking for ways to be offended. But Mike Richards was a producer on The Price is Right. And since he was producer of The Price is Right, people have come forward and said, you know what? He put the models into bikinis on the show. He liked the models in bikinis. And so we had to wear bikinis. And I'm like, okay, your job is as a product spokesmodel. But you're not even really speaking. You're just standing and making it look pretty. So it's one of those things where you weren't wearing a thong. It's not like, you know, you had yourself all buttoned up here. But he made some comments on a podcast where he asked his much younger female co-hosts if they had ever taken naked selfies and if they were booby shots. He used the word booby, Dave. Now, is all of this stuff
I'm
in
shocked.
Yeah. Yeah. Is all of this stuff in good taste? No, it isn't. But can we get over the notion that pretty women on shows holding products are there for any other reason because they're hot? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, no offense. And I don't want spokesmodels to be treated as less than first-class citizens. But when your job is to be pretty and stand next to a tube of deodorant, you're kind of at the mercy on what they want you to wear. And if you've ever watched Price is Right, even the bikinis are not, they're not revealing bikinis any more than a bikini can be revealing, I guess. I don't know. I feel like women like me have to start standing up for guys like Mike Richards, because I came up in radio when it was a much different environment. And I have, in my career, been subjected to what girls today would absolutely call sexual harassment. But instead of getting upset about it, I just made fun of the size of the gentleman's genitals that were saying something sexist to me. I've always been able to give as good as I can get. And I think it's one of the reasons that I have managed to kind of have staying power in this industry, because it will drive you insane. It's not like that anymore, at least in Denver. In our building, it is not like that at all. Not even a little bit. But throughout my career, I could give you guys some stunning examples of inappropriate things that have been said to me by people who were allegedly either my boss or in a position of leadership. And instead of getting all angry, it was just the way it was. Frankly, I enjoyed it. I like a good banter.
It's a game show. We're not trying to hire Mother Teresa as the host.
Yeah.
We want to be entertained.
Yeah.
And people who are entertaining sometimes go over the line a little bit. And that's life.
Well,
we can't hire a priest as the host who has never said anything sinful.
Well, you're going to have to hire an infant. I mean, someone with no track record
whatsoever. Really?
So you're going to have a toddler trying to read, and now European river history. You know, we have to stop this. We have to. And I, by the way, I don't care one iota about this guy. Like, I don't know who he is. He could be a complete jerk. But the stuff that I read that was supposed to be so terrible, I have been engaged in conversations that were far worse than these things. And back in the day, it's a different environment. If you've worked in the media, you know it's been a different environment. It's like the difference between working in an office and working in a restaurant. The culture, a vast majority of the time in a restaurant, is much more fun than the culture in an office because of the nature of work that you're doing. It just is. And I've done both. I've worked in offices and I've worked in a lot of restaurants. So if you were an office person used to a corporate environment, you would maybe go into a restaurant environment and be absolutely horrified by the nature of the conversations and banter that take place over the line in the back between me and the cooks on the line. Lots of inappropriate things were said. And I think that it's time for us to say, okay, you know what? We need to make sure that people are not abusing their position and either withholding promotions and raises from people who turn down their advances. But we also need to all grow a little more of a sense of humor. I'm just saying. We've got to get some kind of sense of humor, people. We have to just go. One of the reasons I love talking to John Caldera is he has no edit button whatsoever. And I'm interested to see what parts of the conversation that I recently taped with him for Devil's Advocate actually make it on the air, because it's what we do. We banter. I truly enjoy it. I truly enjoy it. And he said to me, he goes, you know, it's rare to meet someone who gives as good as they get like you. And I'm like, feel the same way, John. Feel the same way. It's fun. It's just fun. So I don't know, but Mike Richards is out now. And guys, if you've ever made, if you've ever told a dirty joke if in mixed company, if you've ever posted something inappropriate, sent a text of a naked woman in jest to a buddy, any of this stuff, and you want a career in the media especially, you better clean all that stuff up before it's done. I mean, this stuff is, it's nuts. It's absolutely insanely crazy. It's just, oh God. I don't know what to do with that anymore, Dave. This is my favorite story of the day, by far. There's nothing better when someone who allegedly espouses the ideology that you are opposed to proves exactly why it will not work. And this happened at socialist magazine Current Affairs. Have you ever read Current Affairs, Dave?
It's the, I don't think so.
It's the print version of Democracy Now, which is honestly like the worst progressive show I've ever seen in my entire life. It's so bad. It's just bad and boring. It's just bad. So Current Affairs is basically that. It is a socialist magazine started by a socialist man. When five former staff members of Current Affairs created an open letter online because they had been fired. Do you know what they were fired for, Dave, from the socialist magazine Current Affairs? They were trying to organize for better working conditions at the socialist magazine Current Affairs. Nathan J. Robinson, a socialist commentator who founded the magazine in 2015, allegedly was not happy with the organizational restructuring that was happening and felt his powers were being limited. So he fired him. By the way, you can read Nathan Robinson's big 2019 book, Why You Should Be a Socialist, if you'd like. But this is perfectly the
best. And why you should support unions.
Yeah, and this is the best example of why socialism always fails. And this is the conversation that I have with young socialists. How do you change human nature? Because until you can change human nature and completely remove the ego from our system, you will never be able to have a socialist system because the people at the top of the pecking order get power and they do everything they can to keep it. And that's why socialism always fails. So, by the way, listen to this letter, Dave. It starts, "Dear comrades, we, the former full and part-time staff, write to you with deep sadness and disappointment about recent events that have occurred at Current Affairs. On August 8th, Editor-in-Chief Nathan J. Robinson, author of Why You Should Be a Socialist, unilaterally fired most of the workforce to avoid an organizational restructuring that would limit his personal power. Yes, we were fired by the editor-in-chief of a socialist magazine for trying to start a worker co-op." Yep. I can't even there. If I had written this as a movie script, you would have been like, "Mandy, that's so unbelievable. So stupid." But this is how it always happens. By the way, Mr. Robinson said that since the founding of Current Affairs, he has not wanted it to be owned by himself or staff, but to operate as not-for-profit institution that does not belong to particular people. But he also felt that the magazine had become disorganized and structureless. Huh. So weird. When nobody owns it and there's nobody kind of watching that, that's what happens. That's what happens. By the way, he says that they were not fired for that. No. No. "When it comes down to actual sharing power over this thing I have poured my heart and soul into, it felt very, very difficult to do." And that's why socialism always fails. Altogether, kids, let's just say that's why socialism always fails. And a fantastic new article or fantastic column that says about the woke police exactly the way I feel about it. And it takes on the book White Fragility. I read the book White Fragility after my friend Jonathan came on the show right after the George Floyd situation had happened. And we had a conversation and he recommended it. And I'm not going to lie, I'm still kind of mad at him for making me read this book. It's absolute claptrap and garbage, in my opinion. But this person takes it on in beautiful, beautiful fashion. Absolutely beautiful fashion. And then, Dave, where did you find this 1 minute movie? It's called Father. I did not see this coming.
Yeah, it's one of many very short films that you can find on YouTube, and many of them are excellent, and this is one of them.
It's 1 minute. It's an Iranian film. Did you know that there's a vibrant Iranian film community? I did not know that.
No, I didn't.
And my sister, there's a thing, and I don't know if they have it in Denver. It's called the 48-Hour Film Festival, and you get together a group of people, and you are all going to make a film in 48 hours, and you go to the kickoff event, and they give you a genre, and you have to make a film in 48 hours from that genre. And it is an absolute blast. I mean, an absolute blast, but it's exhausting. And my sister worked with an Iranian director who had fled Iran and was still making movies, and it was very, very cool. Very, very cool. Anyway, Dave, go ahead.
We can't end without talking about the Tesla bot.
Oh, forgot about the Tesla bot. I was wondering what I was supposed to talk about. No. So Tesla is coming out with a humanoid robot called the Tesla bot. And I got to tell you guys, I want one. I want one really
bad. I want
bad.
One too.
I really want one. I want somebody to clean my house. I want somebody to go to the grocery store.
It's 5 foot, 8 inches tall, 125 pounds. It can deadlift 150 pounds. It can carry 45 pounds. And it's there to eliminate dangerous, repetitive, and boring tasks for humans. And I have one for it. I would get a Tesla bot just for moving. It will pack all my stuff.
Oh,
it'll
wow.
carry it to where I want. I want one of these as my mover.
Oh, that would be a fantastic use of these. How much are they going to cost? Because they're talking like...
We don't know.
Yeah, we need to find out what Thomas Fry has on the Tesla bot.
There you go.
Yeah, I mean, because there's got to be something.
The prototype is supposed to be introduced next year, so it's not that far away.
Now, what do you give a Tesla bot for Christmas? Because Dave has already said that even though he's mean to the ATM and he's mean to his Siri... He's going to be nice to the Tesla bot because he's pretty sure it could kill him.
Exactly. So I'll be very nice to the Tesla bot.
What do you think is a reasonable
price? Do you like a coffee break, Mr.
Yeah.
Bot?
Yeah, there you go. Oil can, Mr. Bot?
Yeah.
You know.
Sure.
What do you get the robot who has everything? I would get him a jaunty hat. I think a robot would like a jaunty hat.
How about a female robot?
Okay, you want to make everybody miserable because when they fight, it's going to just spill over into the, you know, into
That's
the household.
True.
No, we'll be friends. We'll be pals.
How about a robot pet for him? Keep him company.
Robot dog. That would be great.
We already have some of those, I think.
Yeah, but they're not really. This is going to look, I think this is going to be the first robot that's going to feel like it is pushing us into the future. Like, this is the robot that I grew up thinking
humanoid.
We were gonna
looks
have.
Like an android. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like Rosie the robot. What was the Jetsons robot? Was that Rosie? What was her name?
I think it was. Yeah.
So
it was Rosie.
How much do you think this thing's gonna cost initially?
Initially, probably $100,000.
I think it's gonna be more
what
than
do you
that.
Think?
I think it's going to be more than that initially, yeah. And then, you know, I don't know.
So beyond the average housewife, you want to just do your house chores, right?
Yeah, but I will tell you, I immediately went from, I don't want a robot in my house because it could kill me in my sleep, to how much is this thing going to put me back? You know what I mean? I was like, as soon as somebody said, okay, your house will be spotless to your specifications, because I can tell this robot and say, you know what? I don't want a crumb on my floor. So every time you see or hear a crumb hit the floor, I want you to clean it. I want you to get down there and get it.
And every once in a while, you know, women love to move furniture, especially when men do the work. But they, you know, I don't like the way this room looks. Can we rearrange things? And 4 hours later, you're sweating and it's still not to your satisfaction. The robot will keep doing it 24/7 until you're happy.
I wonder if you could program the robot to read you stories. See, these are, should we call Tesla and tell them the features we need? We may have to do a whole show on what features we want our Tesla bots to have. We're coming back to the Tesla bot at some point.
You want a Tesla robot nanny, too?
No, I don't know if I'm ready to give over the care of my kids to a robot. I feel like you'd be missing something in warmth and human interaction if a robot was charged with keeping your kids. No, I'm not ready for that. Clean my house and then I'll take care of my own kids. There you go. Problem solved. Let's check in with Tom Mustin because we've got Mike Rosen coming up next with Mike Rosen at the movies. Tom, what do you have in the news today?
Well, a lot going on. And just getting back to the bot thing, you know, Russia's already experimenting with news anchor bots, and it's pretty creepy.
Shut the front door.
Go look it up. Yeah. It
well, like, I, you know what? It's a whole lot easier than reprogramming people, Tom.
Exactly.
So there you go.
Different situation there. Exactly mm-hmm. right. Well, anyway, take a deep breath. A little bit of good news in the air quality department today. If you look outside right now, you can almost see the mountains. The good news, this morning's storm cleared the air nicely. We'll let you know if those blue skies will last through the weekend, though, and there may be some changes coming along. That's coming up at 2 o'clock and a lot more on KOA News Radio, 850 AM and 94.1 FM.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes.
ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Mandy Connell Show is sponsored by Bell and Pollock Accident and Injury Lawyers.
Now, it's Mandy Connell on KOA News Radio, the voice of Colorado.
Rated MR for Mike Rosen.
Now, the reviews are in. It's Mike Rosen at the movies on KOA News Radio, 850 AM and 94.1 FM.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the third hour of the show. This is the hour that we welcome one Mr. Mike Rosen to join us for fun and frivolity and an hour of talking music, or not music, what am I talking about? Movies, and sometimes TV, and sometimes other weird stuff. Mike, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you. It's always good to be here. You know, and I understand that you thought my shuffling of papers was too loud.
Yeah, that's
actually
loud.
Yeah, I'm in the middle of a gin game. It's like shuffling a deck of cards. If you can see
stop,
the cards.
Stop doing that, Mike.
Okay,
I'll stop
shuffling papers. Excuse me. So, you know, Karl Marx. Everybody knows who Karl Marx is. The mm-hmm. father of communism. He wrote
right.
the communism.
The brother of Groucho and Zeppelin.
No, that's not. He wasn't one of the Marx brothers.
No.
He was the first socialist, the communist. So he gets a lot of pub, but no one ever mentions his sister, Anya, who is the inventor of the starting pistol.
I think maybe you got some bad
Marx,
information there.
You know,
yeah.
Anya Marx?
Yeah, I think you got some bad intel
okay.
on that one,
all right. Never,
Mike. Yeah.
Never mind.
Yeah.
So Julie Andrews, who's one of my favorites, Sound of Music, everything right. she's ever done. She's been doing a lot of endorsements, and she decided she's no longer going to endorse cheap lipstick because it crumbles easily, makes her breath smell. She said, the super color fragile lipstick gives me halitosis.
That's a good one.
That's
thank you.
And you
that's
know what?
Good.
I knew that somehow that was going to end up in a different place than it started. And yes, indeed, that it did. So this week, we are going to talk about the new movie, Free Guy. It's actually the number one film in America. Seems that people finally went back to the theaters for this movie. And it stars Ryan Reynolds. Do you want to set it up, Dave, or do you want me to?
Why don't you do it?
Okay. So the movie starts with a guy who is a happy guy, and he lives in a bizarre world where things explode, people get robbed, but everyone's in a super happy mood most of the time. And as the film goes on, you develop a sense that something is not as it seems in this situation. Now, parallel storyline going on at the same time is that there is a computer programmer who is trying to figure out a glitch in a video game, and you soon realize that guy is part of the video game. But the whole crux of the movie turns around the fact that eventually Guy in the video game realizes that he is a guy in a video game, but he's not an action guy. He's what they call an NPC, a non-player character. The background people that people just shoot or dispose of or throw off buildings or whatever they want to do with them. And NPCs are not supposed to have a personality, a code, and they're certainly not supposed to have self-awareness. So on the one hand, you have Guy realizing that he's part of a video game with the help of another video game character, a woman whose name just went completely out of my head. I can remember. Oh,
Millie.
No, but her video game was, avatar name was something I can't remember. But her real name is Millie. Millie also ties the other storyline into this video game because Millie is in the game looking for hidden pieces of code to prove that the video game developer who made this city that Guy lives in stole she and her partner's computer code that was actually artificial intelligence. Am I giving too much away here? I think I would have liked to have had a little more information going into this movie, to tell you the truth.
Yes.
It would have made the first half
was tough.
Yeah, it would have made the first half better for me. But the whole thing comes about that Millie's trying to get the evidence she needs to sue this guy. But at the same time, the evil character, who's really a perfect representation of so many of the jerks that exist in Silicon Valley, the nerds who all of a sudden became very wealthy and cool, and they have absolutely no idea what that is actually supposed to be like or look like, so they're just horrible people. And this guy, the villain, is determined to destroy the video game in order to protect himself.
He was kind of a weird character.
Oh, he was just awful.
And his character's name is Antoine. The actor's name is Taika Waititi.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he was kind of a strange villain.
Yeah.
But as you pointed out, in the world of game software, he was perfect as one of the executives.
Yeah. The movie stars Ryan Reynolds. And I think that Ryan Reynolds was the perfect choice to play Guy. He has a very kind of Pollyanna quality and becomes more self-aware as the movie goes on. But ultimately, in the first half of the movie, you've got to think of this as kind of like the Truman Show meets Groundhog Day. That's kind of what the first half is, as he keeps getting killed, but then he keeps waking up the next day and having the same day over and over again. But it works because of the construct being a video game. I think it works. And in the second half, it's action adventure. They're trying to find the code. He's trying to stop them, blah, 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 on and on, so forth and so on. And I won't tell you what happens at the end, but it's actually very, very cool.
And I think most of the reason why it's very cool is because of his performance.
Yeah.
He holds it all together and makes you want to know what's going to happen because he's so likable.
Exactly. He's an everyman character for sure. And that's what he's designed to be. That's why his name is Guy.
And 40 years ago, this would have been played by Henry Fonda, probably.
Or Tom Hanks.
Or Jimmy Stewart.
Yeah, you know, 70 years ago would have been played by Jimmy Stewart. But
yes.
And you know, his best friend's name is Buddy. So there's those kind of things that, you know, what are you going to give the blue shirt guy? Of course, you're going to call him Guy. And his best friend.
And there's a kind of innocence in this game world.
Yes. It's a little bit of Pleasantville.
And there's this fat guy who always is robbed in the bank and he has his hands up instinctively all the time.
Yeah.
And finally, in the second half of the movie, characters led by Guy start to become self-aware and he foments a rebellion amongst the background characters.
An NPC rebellion, yes.
Which is really funny and cute and charming, I thought.
This is an enjoyable movie for me. I went, again, it had full family approval. My daughter liked it. I liked it. My husband liked it. It was one of those things you go and you get a bucket of popcorn and you see it. And if it's on and you have to vacuum, you may put it on and watch it again. It's just, it was an enjoyable film for me.
And
I really
if you look at
it.
Rotten Tomatoes, critics gave it an 82%, which is somewhat surprising. Audience, 95% approval. And on IMDb, it got a 7.6, which is very respectable.
And you know,
when
Dave,
you talk about movies that it borrows from, don't forget, what was that movie we reviewed not too long ago with Will Ferrell and Emma Thompson? Where Emma Thompson was a writer and Will Ferrell was her tool that she was writing about.
Yes. So. Yes. What Oh my gosh. Stranger than Fiction. Stranger Than Fiction is that one.
Yes.
Yeah, and The Truman Show is another one because it is a very voyeuristic kind of he's trapped in this environment and can't get out, and yet everyone else is watching.
I think Will Ferrell had that same quality of innocence in his character as Guy does in this movie. Yeah. And it's very appealing.
It is very appealing. Mike did not. Mike found it the opposite of appealing. So
Mike walked out of his living room at the intermission.
In a huff.
I didn't make it through halftime. I watched the first half of the movie and I'm scratching my head saying, why do I care? I don't do video games. I think the 95% rating on Rotten Tomatoes from the normal audiences is perhaps because the self-selected audience for this movie likely includes an awful lot of people who are video game addicts. I've never played any video game. The last video game I played was Pong.
And you
waiting
lost.
That's
why.
Just back in 1977, is that when that was, when you were the Pong champion of the condo association? Oh, yeah, there you go. No, I don't, yeah, so I'm not a video game person either. I'm not a video game person either, but I thought the characters were likable. I thought the story was interesting enough. Because honestly, don't you hear this premise and you start to think, well, are they going to try and turn him into a real guy at the end and turn it into something completely ridiculous? I wanted to see what the disposition of Guy was specifically as a video game character that did not exist in real life. I wanted to see how that turned out, and it was a very satisfying ending. I liked the ending, you know?
Explain this to me. He was a real life character.
He was
contrary to Will Ferrell, who was or wasn't. We're never clear about that. But he was the only real life character in this movie. All the other characters were cartoon characters.
No, he was a fake character. He was just
he was
a character. He did not exist in the real world. He was just a video game character.
Okay,
no.
I see. So he's only
so you have to figure out how they're going to end that up so you're not completely depressed at the end because he dies or something, you know. I don't know. But they did a really good job and I really liked the ending and I thought they tied up both stories nicely. I enjoyed it. I thought it was a fun movie. They tried to solve
the problem of Guy, the evil owner, by doing what we all do, by rebooting your machine.
Turning it off and on. That's pretty much it. Yeah. It was
didn't solve the problem.
Everyone's tech experience right there in a movie in one fell swoop. I think that this is going to be the kind of movie that is going to do incredibly well as kids are going back to school. Although I will say, I shelter my 12-year-old daughter. I know this. I always have. And there was a lot of inappropriate jokes and some curse words.
Wasn't
now,
Alex Trebek the featured?
Yes. He was in a Jeopardy episode. Yeah.
I mean, I saw that part. Yeah.
I think that was probably one of his last appearances.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but I liked it. I thought it was good.
What did you rate it?
I'm going to give it 4 out of 5 dropped security guard weapons belts. So 4 out of 5 dropped security guard weapons belts. You'll have to.
I'm
going to
give it 3.5 out of 5 rebellious background characters.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give it 1 pair of magic sunglasses.
Mike, I'm proud of you. Mike was going to go with blue shirts, and Dave said, that's lazy. You can't do that. So, Mike, way to come back.
Much better.
Way to come back. Okay, so now, Mike, you have already seen The Protégé, which opens today. So you are going to have to do this one on your own. So let us – I'm trying to pull it back. I pulled up the thing so I could play along in my
By the way,
game.
I'm just curious, Mike, did you see the press conference earlier today?
No, I didn't. No.
Oh, you must.
This is about Afghanistan and the apocalypse going on.
It's something. It's something, Mike. It's something.
Well, I did see Joe Biden with our friend who used to work for the Clinton campaign.
You mean George Stephanopoulos, Clinton spokesperson?
George Stephanopoulos.
Yeah.
That was just sad.
Yep.
This was, I think, even sadder. Plus, he only picked reporters from his list of reporters that's approved.
Mike, Dave and I were talking about
this. Of this whole thing, the lame defense that Biden has used on a couple of occasions now, he inherited this from Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, Milley, who said, well, you know, we had 3 scenarios. And one was that it would go very smoothly, and another was somewhere in between. And the third one was, well, it might all go to hell. And who knew? Well, wait a second. You're supposed to plan for the worst possible scenario and be prepared to deal with that. That was the dumbest thing I have ever heard any chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff say. about military intelligence that was either ignored or went bad.
I will tell you that it is going to be fascinating to see how all this unfolds. Mike, do you remember any other president having an obvious approved media list? Like Biden has admitted multiple times that his people
choose. The closest thing to that was John F. Kennedy, because almost all of them loved him. He didn't need a list. But Obama was pretty careful about who he picked. Every now and then somebody else would who's from an opposing media venue.
Careful is different than an approved list, though.
Of course.
An official list. How does the media permit that sort of thing without rebelling?
Because they're cheerleaders. That's why, you know, they agree with the agenda. But getting questions submitted in advance? Come on.
Yeah.
Wasn't that the case in one of the debates with Hillary Clinton? I think Donna Brazile was involved in it, where she got the questions and fed them to Hillary for the debate.
Mm-hmm. I mean, remember Nixon and Dan Rather? And Dan Rather was always after Nixon, but he'd call on him because that's what you do at a press conference.
Right.
Same thing with Trump. He's purposely picked the guys that hate him the most because that's what you do at a press conference, unless you're Joe Biden and you have a restricted list of approved reporters.
I actually sent a text to the White House Correspondents Association asking why they're okay with that. Why are you okay with allowing your correspondents to go in there knowing that they're not going to get a question to ask the president because they're not on the approved list? Why is that okay with the White House Correspondents Association? Why have they not said, because honestly, Mike, if it was me and I'm supposed to be covering the president, I know there's a 0% chance he's calling on me. Why am I going to the press conference? I can sit in my office and watch it on C-SPAN. I don't need to be there. You know,
how does that promote transparency in the Biden administration?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, if you put that question to the White House Press Association, you get some kind of an answer, which would be double talk. But, you know, the real answer is because we want this president to succeed.
Yeah, but that's even if you had seen and if you do see this press conference, you'll see reporters from NPR trying to nail him to the wall. I mean, even his approved list is not friendly these days. Repeatedly, one after another, they gave him pretty tough questions.
Very tough questions.
Of course, he ducked them, but they did their job. So I don't know if an approved list even works anymore. And I think the Press Association is going to get tired of this.
I would
say
he'll
ever get a negative question.
Oh, he did today. He got one from NPR, Mike. NPR called him on his crap.
Well, there are some journalists at NPR, even though they have an agenda, too. I was just saying, do you think he'd ever get any kind of a hostile question from somebody at MSNBC?
No, 0%.
No, but he can't ask all his questions to MSNBC reporters.
That's true. I was just stigmatizing MSNBC.
Oh, yeah. No question.
Yep. Anyway, when we get back, we are going to jump into The Protégé. Is this a revenge movie, Mike? Is that what it looks like?
Yes, it is. It's a revenge movie.
You love revenge movies.
As a matter of fact, it was a different, it's a different kind of a revenge movie.
Okay, Mike, I have to ask you this question because someone asked me and I said I don't know the answer to this question. Mike, what is it that you look for in a movie? What kind of movies do you find yourself drawn to that you really have a pretty good idea? I'm really going to like this movie because I can't figure out your movie taste. There are movies that I think, gosh, Mike's really going to like this one. And you're like, blah. Now, I didn't think you'd love Free Guy, but I didn't think you'd hate it. You know, I can't figure out what your whole thing about movies is.
Okay, well, now you have to put them in categories. So we're leaving porn aside, right?
Well,
okay,
we'll just have that conversation later over beers. Go ahead.
I like epic movies.
Okay.
I like historical movies.
Okay.
I like war movies. Okay. I like action movies up to a point. I like Woody Allen movies that most people don't. I like movies that have sometimes a dry sense of humor. But on the other hand, and this is the biggest difference between men and women, I thought the Three Stooges were funny.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right, then.
That's an old line. Dave would be familiar with that one. That is the biggest. Yeah. Is there a woman in the world that ever enjoyed Three Stooges movies?
Exactly.
There probably is. Probably is.
Poking people in the eye and all that stuff.
Yeah, you know.
It's funny. So, you know what bothering me more and more about the movies? Overdone flashbacks. And this has been taken to excess. There are some times when You just wanted to go through it in a linear direction.
Right, yeah.
So you know how you got from point A to point C, not starting at point Q and going back to A and then to X. That's become an artistic obligation.
They don't even give you a warning anymore when it's a flashback.
No, now
so you're confused because the person looks the same almost, except it's not. It's a flashback.
I look for hairline.
You realize.
Yeah, I look for hairline and hair color to help me know it's a flashback. Okay, let's take a quick break. When we get back, we'll talk about The Protégé, find out about this revenge movie, but it's a different kind of revenge movie from Mike. Right after this, but first, Tom Mustin's going to tell us what's coming up in the news. What do you have for me, Tom?
Hey, guys. Well, unleash the sopapillas. Casa Bonito's close to being back. South Park creators Trey Parker and Matt Stone are reportedly buying the restaurant. They were spotted at the restaurant today. We'll tell you what disguise they use, which obviously failed. It's coming up at 2:30 on KOA News Radio, 850 AM and 94.1 FM.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
We're back. Mike Rosen in his house. We're talking about movies. And now Mike has seen a movie that opens in theaters today. Do you know if it's streaming, Mike? I wanted to check that. You set the movie up and I'll find out where people can see it. Go ahead.
Okay. I saw it before it was released. I saw it on a screener that the studio sent me. It's called The Protégé. And it's a double-sorted revenge movie. Samuel L. Jackson, who's fabulous in everything he does, although he plays similar characters most of the time, he's a legendary assassin. His name is Moody, and he has a beautiful palatial home, and it's also his fortress. Well, his protege is Anna, played by Maggie Q. I want to talk more about her later. Don't let me forget that, because I think she steals the movie. She's now the world's most skilled contract killer, and she learned from the best. Well, among the people that Moody, Samuel L. Jackson, killed was somebody who the villain's bad guy doesn't like at all. And this is the quintessential bad guy who faked his own death, but he's really still alive and he wants to control the world. And one of his assassins is played by Michael Keaton, who does a wonderful job in this movie. His character's name is Rembrandt. And he visits Maggie Q, Anna, in her bookstore. She has a little bookstore, which is a side business. She has no idea who he is, but he knows who she is. And that's how you're first introduced to him. And it's kind of a love at first sight thing. He wants to get together with her, and then he leaves the bookstore, and you're wondering, he's the guy with the top bill in the movie. You're going to see a lot more of him. Well, Moody, Samuel L. Jackson, is assassinated himself. And this sets Anna off on the revenge of all revenges, and she's going to travel the world to track down his killer and take care of his killer. And they go all over the place. It's a global travelogue. Well, Maggie Q, her name is Maggie Denise Quigley, absolutely beautiful woman. It turns out she's 42 years old. But she looks like she's 29 in this movie. And she's Asian, but not exactly, because the eyes don't look Asian. And it's turns out she was born in Honolulu, Hawaii. Her mother is a Vietnamese immigrant. Interestingly enough, the story is set in Vietnam as Maggie goes in search of the person who killed her tutor and who adopted her as her father. But Maggie Q's husband... Maggie Q's father is of Irish and Polish descent. So there's the mixed breed, but it works wonderfully for her. Well, she began as a model, and found her way to Hong Kong because she wanted to get into movies. And she was selected by Jackie Chan, who saw in her a potential action star. He intensively trained her and taught her the importance of always doing her own stunts.
Oh,
and
God.
She does her own stunts in this movie and does a great, great job of it. One of my favorite scenes in the movie, as Anna and Rembrandt again being Michael Keaton, become rivals, is a dinner they have. Now, they're both assassins, and they've had opportunities to kill one another, but have held back from doing so because you can see some chemistry between the two of them. And they have this dinner in a very posh restaurant with a lot of seductive language. And it reminded me of that signature scene from the Steve McQueen, Faye Dunaway movie. You remember the seductive chess scene in the Thomas Crown Affair, which was made in 1968. That was a standout scene in the movie. In any event, there's a lot of action in it. It goes on. There's a very good, well-done plot twist at the end, which after you've seen it, you said, I should have expected that. You love Michael Keaton. He's a very classy guy around a whole bunch of other people who are simply thugs. Also, Robert Patrick is in it. You might remember him from Terminator 2. He was the human-like robot who was going after Schwarzenegger, and his body was made out of kind of a liquid metal.
Mm-hmm.
I see him, and I said, wait a second, I know who this guy is. He's 64 years old now, but he's one of the villains as well. So I really liked it. It. As you say, it was released today. I think it's going to do a pretty good box office. And on a scale of five, I'm going to give it four sensual and seductive dinners.
All right. And it is out in theaters only. So they've gone back to opening these things in the theater first. Do you think that Scarlett Johansson's lawsuit against Disney is why all of these things are just getting theatrical release initially? Because I think Disney, especially, I think the big movie houses would have loved to cut out some of these actors whose deals depend on box office for the back end. And
if they can get away with it.
Well, yeah. Exactly. And I think her suing is probably the reason that all of these are going to be in the theaters first. Because
yeah, shot across the bow.
Yeah.
If the studios think that she's going to win this lawsuit.
Yep. I have to tell you, I don't know if you went back and read the contract stuff that they released. It seems very clear that Scarlett Johansson is correct in her assertions that they really screwed her over. So it's going to be very interesting to see how that is taken care of. Okay, so what are we watching for next week? When is Reminiscence coming out? Did you see the previews for this?
It's coming out next Friday. I saw a screener version of that as well. And that's worth reviewing. Hugh Jackson is in it.
Yeah.
Daddy Newton.
Yeah, I'm very excited to see this. So
interesting storyline. They cheated a little bit, I think, based on what they had established the rules to be of the storyline.
So Reminiscence is on HBO Max today. Is that what you're saying? Okay. That's what Coover's trying to tell me. So Reminiscence is out today on HBO Max. That's awesome. I'll watch it this weekend. Because that looks really, really good. And, and Coover also said HBO Max and Disney were the only two streamers going straight to stream and theater at the same time. So Disney got checked, and they deserved it. They absolutely deserved it. So Reminiscence, and what else are we going to do? By the way, Mike, I just started watching Bosch. You're absolutely right. It's outstanding.
What season are you in?
I just started it. I'm like episode five of season one. So I am back at the beginning.
You got 50 episodes yet to see.
I know. I'm pretty excited about that. We shall discuss when we make it all the way through. But you're right. It's outstanding. And I think that is the best that Titus Williver's ever been. He plays Bosch. I think that's the best role I've seen him in.
That's one of the smartest police detective movies I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's a show, and it's very good.
They usually have three parallel stories that are sometimes connected that run for the entire season. It's not episode to episode.
Yeah, it's very, very good. So thank you for that that advice there, and I will be enjoying that. Oh, Dave, I can't hear you. Your mic's off.
He was a character in that miniseries Lost.
Who, Titus Williver? Is it Williver? Is that how you say his last name? I think it is. I like the name Titus. You got to be the right kind of person to carry off the name Titus, though. You can't be like a, you know, like a 98-pound weakling, sniveling kind of wallflower if your name is Titus. We gotta wear that name, don't you think?
And the girl who plays his daughter, and you see her now as a high school or a college student. Over the next 5 years, she is going to grow both in her ability and her look. She's very attractive.
Okay. Good to know. So that Reminiscence is coming up next week. And anything else? I interrupted you to tell you I started watching Bob.
I can throw in, if we don't have anything else, I can throw in a series called Hit and Run.
Okay. All righty then. We can do that. I also want to remind people here in just a few minutes that you can win a chance you got coming up at, let's see here. When is the next one? Coming up at 525? Is that what we're talking about, Coop? Yeah. You can listen for your chance to win $1,000 and a trip to the iHeartRadio Music Festival in Las Vegas. That is coming up later. And Monday on the show, guys, we're about to get into political season here. And that means that we're going to be talking to candidates and things of that nature. But we're kicking off Monday with a couple things. My friend Hazel Ramsbotham, you've met Hazel before. Hazel's written a book. Her audio version of her book is out. And Hazel wrote 88 Keys to Success when she was 88. Because she was a piano teacher for many of those years. She is delightful. And then we're also going to talk to Rob Bingham about a great golf tournament to support a veterans cause that is doing really good work supporting other veterans causes. So that's all coming up on Monday. But
by the way,
go ahead, Dave.
I just got to mention, we got a text message. Mandy, what is all that background noise? If it's Mike, you may have to zip tie his hands.
Trust me, we're thinking about duct tape. It's going to happen one of these days, Michael. We're going to duct tape your arms down. Just not going to be able to touch any papers.
I don't think that was me. This is my shuffling.
No, Mike, trust me. No one else shuffles. No one.
We're going to ban paper from your room. That's what we're going to do.
By the way, what's the only thing worse than a cold seat in a public restroom?
A warm seat in a public
That's
restroom?
Exactly
yeah, there
right.
you go.
Very good.
And now
it's time
for the most exciting segment on the radio. And now it's time for the most exciting segment on the radio of its kind in the world of the day. Reminiscence is out in theaters today and also available to stream on HBO Max. There you go.
Was it good? Was it good? I want to watch
it. I haven't seen it yet. It just came out today. So we're going to talk about it next week. So we got that going for us. All right. What is our word of the day, please, Dave?
Okay. Word of the day is an adjective. Okay. It is gelid. G-E-L-I-D. Gelid. An adjective.
Gelid means something firm, solid.
I'll give you 0.01 point.
Hey, I'll take that. Okay. It makes me ahead. I'm ahead right now by 0.01 point.
Anyone
else? Something that's gelatin-like?
No, that's wrong. It's G-E-L-I-D.
You can spell gelatin with a G?
It is spelled with a G. G-E-L-I-A-I-T-N.
You're correct.
Yeah. Jello.
Anyone?
It's not.
Anyone?
Yeah,
yeah.
Very confusing.
Anyone?
Anyway, anyone else know
anyone?
What gelatin
no?
is?
No? Okay, what is it?
It's icy or extremely cold.
Oh, okay.
Chicago is gelatin in the winter.
All right. What is the name of the fictional Belgian private detective that stars
Hercule
in many...
Hercule Poirot.
Yes, it is correct. I knew that as well. Hercule Poirot.
Yes.
Yes, in Agatha Christie novels. Anyway, moving on.
Wasn't that Murder on the Orient Express? Wasn't that one of his movies?
Yes.
It was one of his, yes.
Coop has definitely seen that movie.
I saw both of them. The old one and the new one.
Not read the book. Mm-hmm.
The book's very, very good.
Agatha
All right.
Christie.
What is our category today? By the way, Mike, I forgot to tell you. Guess what happened yesterday? I beat Charles Harrington Elster in Jeopardy grammar.
Yes.
Grammar was the category, and I beat Charles Harrington Elster. I just want to.
By the way, I want to change the rules. Instead of my saying Mike, if I want to be called on first, and I think somehow or other, the tone of that is causing me not to be picked when I'm first.
Right.
I'm going to use this instead.
If you want to try,
why don't you just use Mandy?
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Do better. Anyway, speaking of Mandy, hasn't been for a long time, but today's Jeopardy category, colorful rhyme.
Yes!
Time.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay.
What is it? Ready. Colorful what?
Rhyme time.
Colorful rhyme time.
The answer rhymes. You'll see.
Yeah, two words that rhyme and suggested by my clue, which in the first one is a crimson toboggan.
Mandy?
Brandon?
What's a red
Mandy.
Sled?
Oh.
Very close here, but Mandy got it.
Yeah, okay.
Next one, a cobalt Native American
Mandy?
Boat.
What is a blue
Mike.
Canoe?
Correct.
Mm.
Little late, Mike, on the buzzer. Little late.
Mike.
That's little early. Little early. Next one, licorice eaten to satisfy
Mike.
Mike.
Black snack.
Oh,
correct.
Good one. Yeah, Mike.
Brandon.
Yeah.
Brandon, what is it? Black snack?
Oh, you know what? I was excited he got it, truthfully.
I'll give him half
go
a
ahead,
one.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, let's let him have him. He won't get another. Next one, an ivory paper toy that flies in
Mandy.
The wind.
Brandon.
Mandy.
What's a white kite?
Yep. And finally, a coffee-colored tiara.
Mandy, what's a brown crown?
Boy, she doesn't even hesitate.
That's like college
Boom.
Nicknames for me.
What rhymes with chocolate?
No, what rhymes with orange? Yeah, there you go. All right, kids, that is it for us. We got Big Al and JoJo coming up next. Keep it on KOA. We'll be back on Monday. Have a happy and safe weekend. Enjoy any nice weather we might squeeze out this weekend. We'll see you then. And thanks for listening to KOA News Radio.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.